And let's say hello to Mr. Wills to complete our Daily Flames roundtable. Hello, Willsy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How was the classic today?
It was great. I mean, big congratulations goes out to Rolly Sear and everybody involved in organizing the event. I mean, they had a lot of hurdles they had to jump over this year, being in the middle of the pandemic and then trying to make everything work. It was an unbelievable event, as it always is. But the best thing, other than the fact they raised over $100,000 for the Calgary Flames Foundation and have raised millions of dollars over the years having this event, this was the 40th annual, the weather was phenomenal. I mean, it was windy out here at Country Hills, but normally this tournament is pretty hit and miss when it comes to weather. There have been years when it's been barely above zero and cold and sleeting and sometimes almost snowing. So the gods were smiling on us today. Mother Nature took good care of us today. And great to see so many people out supporting the great work being done by the Calgary Flames Foundation in our community.
Awesome to hear. Let's get into our roundtable topics today. As Flames rookie camp officially came to an end today, they have their final practice. They've played their two games against the Oilers prospects, a 3-2 loss in Edmonton on Saturday, a 4-1 win at the Saddle Dome yesterday. And one of the big things, guys, we talked about is the fact that there aren't any kind of easily identifiable open spots for a young player, a prospect coming into camp. It looks like on paper that most of the spots, all of the spots on the NHL roster are taken. Derek, that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a great question. I would say it's probably a little bit of both, but more a good thing than a bad thing, in my opinion, because there have been seasons. I would say probably two or three of the seven seasons that I've called Flames games where you look at the roster going into training camp and you think, okay, who is going to fill these roles, whether it be the 11th, 12th, 13th forward, 6th, 7th, 8th defenseman, backup goaltender? There have been a handful of years, even in the last 7 years, where I've wondered, do the Flames have enough NHL players to fill a roster? That's not the case this year. As a matter of fact, you would probably like to have a little bit more internal competition for the younger guys, but I just think that it's going to be difficult with what the Flames have for players like Glenn Gauden and Connor Mackey to be one of the top 12 or 13 forwards or one of the top 6 or 7 defensemen if everybody is healthy. I would love to see those young guys have an opportunity to compete for a job and to win a job or to steal a job from somebody with the way they perform in training camp and in the preseason. But quite frankly, guys, when I look at what the Flames have at forward and on defense, they're pretty set as far as their top 12 and top 6 are concerned. Maybe there's more of a battle there for the 13th forward job or the 7th defenseman job, but they're pretty set with a group of returning players and guys that they brought in via free agency. So if everybody's healthy, I don't think that there are a lot of jobs up for grabs. There might not be any jobs up for grabs. So I do think it's more of a good thing than a bad thing, but I also enjoy that internal competition in training camp and the preseason. And I look forward to seeing if anybody can win a job or steal a job.
Yeah, Pat, from my perspective, I think it's actually a good thing for this Calgary Flames team with Daryl Sutter as the head coach. I mean, Sutter obviously has a clear idea of how he wants his team to be made up and how he wants his team to play. And he went out and got those players to fill those roles. When you have young players, I'm a firm believer that unless a guy is just an obvious star in the making, spending some time in the American Hockey League can be very, very good for young players. Not to mention within the organization, it shows that, the spots in the best league in the world are earned and not given. And I think when we see the way this team plays night in, night out, the workmanlike ethos that Sutter's team should bring to the Saddle Dome and road games night after night, I think you set a standard for your hockey club. You show the young players what's expected of you if you want to be on this National Hockey League roster, and then they're able to go grow as professionals and be ready for opportunities that may very well arise at some point during the season. It can be a little disheartening, I'm sure, to young men coming into camp realizing the writing's somewhat on the wall that there isn't a spot for them. But I think long term for both the player and the hockey club, having them have to earn roster spots and do it through excelling in the American Hockey League in the long run, I think is a good thing for Calgary.
I would say it is a good thing with the caveat that I just hope that a door isn't closed if something like 2018 happened with Dylan Dubé. You know, like if it's Jacob Pelche or if it's somebody or somebody else that we haven't even started talking about. Maybe it's Glenn Godden, maybe it's Adam Rzyczka. I don't know. But I just want that door to remain open. And I hope that by bringing in the veterans that they've brought in, it doesn't block the way if somebody deserves the shot. And I personally don't think it will, Derek, because we've seen in the past with Brad Treliving as this team's general manager that if somebody earns their way on, they will open a door. And I know Trevor Lewis and Tyler Pitlick and Brad Richardson and Erica Branson and Michael Stone have all been added to this roster over the last number of weeks and months, but I still think that if it's Pelche, if it's Mackey, whoever the case may be, that proves that they are one of the six best or 12 best of their position, that a door, that they'll make sure that that door remains open. They've proved that in the past, and I hope that that remains the case. Now, that doesn't mean that it should just be gifted. You still have to go out and earn your way and do the job to make sure that you open that door for yourself. I guess if I'm using the analogy, I hope that if a player does enough to open the door, it's not slammed shut in front of them because of who is on the roster already. So I would say it's a good thing with that one caveat.
But when you look at the defensemen and the forwards, so let's start on defense. So let's say the top six looks like this. Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev, Nikita Zadorov and Rasmus Anderson, and Yusuf Alamaki and Eric Goodbranson. And let's say that Michael Stone is your seventh. Is there a spot for Connor Mackey or for Oliver Shillington? I mean, I don't see one.
But my point is, Derek, what if Mackey is better than Goodbranson in camp? That's kind of, and what this Flames team has done in the past is show that they will do something to make sure that that door is open, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they paid Eric Goodbranson $1.95 million. So I'm not sure that even if Connor Mackey is better than Eric Goodbranson in training camp in the preseason, that, you know, he's going to take that job from him. Maybe he could push Yusuf Alamaki down the depth chart. But you know, I think Nikita Zadorov, somebody like that.
Or
we'll
Stone.
Have to wait and see what happens. Or Michael Stone. But here's the other thing. Do you want a young defenseman like Connor Mackey, or probably to a lesser extent Oliver Shillington, being your seventh defenseman and not playing very often? Or would you rather have them in the American Hockey League getting some important reps down there and, you know, continuing to develop? So that's certainly a question that I have. And when you look at the forward,
it depends. And just to answer that question, it depends for me. Like if you could have Mackey and Goodbranson rotating and something like that, or if you could have, if it's not just going to be seven straight games in one, eight straight games in one, then I think if you can be getting in on a somewhat regular basis, I think there is value for a guy like Mackey to be on the NHL team.
I do think there's value, and I do think that there's great potential that Connor Mackey could force the Flames to do something at some point in time. And he's not the only guy. And ultimately, isn't that what you want? You want guys to force your hand. You want to put the Flames, you want to put the management group and the coaching staff in a position where they don't have a choice but to find a spot for you, whether that's promoting somebody else or whether that's moving somebody to open up a spot on the roster. I mean, it's a good problem to have if you have it. And the Flames do have a ton of depth. I mean, even look at their forward group. So let's assume that Elias Lindholm stays at center. So your four centermen would be Elias Lindholm, Sean Monahan, Michael Backlund, and probably Brad Richardson. I know Trevor Lewis can play center, but he's played more on the wing lately than up the middle. So let's say they're your four centermen. Wingers, because guys are playing on the left side when the right shots and on the right side when they're left shots, it's hard to kind of categorize who your top four left wingers and your top four right wingers are. But you go through the depth chart, and I don't see a forward position that's open either. Again, maybe the 13th job, but then again, you know, there's probably going to be an injury or two. Knock on wood that there isn't, and that the Flames are 100% healthy heading into the regular season opener on October 16th. But, you know, a lot can happen between now and then, whether it's an injury or potentially a trade. I mean, Brad Treleaven, we know he tried all summer to improve this team. Maybe there will be an opportunity between now and October 16th to do that. And maybe that opportunity comes because someone blows your socks off, right? Someone so good, like Dylan Dubé was a few years ago, someone so good in training camp in the preseason, you think to yourself, you say to yourself, we've got to find a spot for this guy on the team. And in order to do that, maybe you have to move somebody out. So I think the Flames have a ton of depth. And you might say, well, they don't have enough high-end players, and we'll have to wait and see. I do think that depth will be a strength for this team, but then again, I thought that was the case last season, and it didn't prove to be that way, at least for a good chunk of it. But this is a pretty deep hockey team, and young guys aren't going to be given jobs. They're going to have to earn those jobs. And what was it? Was it Bob Hartley that said, always earned, never given? And I do think that's going to be the case for young players on this team.
Yeah, I sort of agree with Derek when it comes to the defense. I mean, if you're a player like Mackie and, you know, the options are playing 20-plus minutes a night in the American Hockey League and continue to grow and develop and really be ready for when you have to go and play significant minutes in the NHL, I mean, I think that is much better than doing a bunch of bag skates after morning skates and spending the majority of your time in the press box until someone gets hurt. From a forward perspective, though, I see it a little differently in that, you know, when you go to the bottom of the Flames depth chart right now of guys that we assume are going to be in the lineup with the likes of Richie and Richardson and Trevor Lewis, who was here in Winnipeg last year. I mean, it's not like the team is committed to these players long term, and it's not like they have a large financial commitment to the players either. So, I mean, if there is a young guy that steps up in camp and shows that he's at least ready to get a taste of the National Hockey League right off the bat, I don't think for a second the Flames would say, well, you know, we signed these guys and we've told them they're in the lineup and you're going to have to wait. I mean, I think there is a chance that a player could come in and earn that spot at the expense of a veteran. But to Derek's point, it's not going to be given. They will have to earn it. And that will be interesting to watch through training camp, whether there is one of the players that, you know, we maybe project a little further down the road for the Calgary Flames, stepping up and saying to Daryl Sutter, I'm ready to go, and you know what? I'm better than these guys that you have penciled into the lineup. Yep. Give me an opportunity.
Yeah, and you make a really good point, Andrew, and I think there are three veteran players in particular that will have to play fairly consistently, very consistently, to keep their jobs. I mean, when you look at the contracts of Brett Ritchie, who's on a one-year $900,000 deal, and then Trevor Lewis and Brad Richardson, who are both on one-year $800,000 deals, if there was a young player who was clearly better than one of those three guys, I don't think it's the end of the world to bury one of those contracts in the American Hockey League. But again, those are all proven NHL players. In Lewis's case, he's won a couple of Stanley Cups. Richardson's been a good defensive forward and penalty killer for a long time in this league. And I thought Brett Ritchie did some really good things for the Flames last season as well. So, yeah, I mean, if somebody doesn't give you a choice, then I think you figure out a way to put them on your roster, whether that be sending somebody down or sitting somebody out or making a trade.
Yeah, and you know, the last thing that I'd add on this particular front is that even if we're talking about a performance that is just like, you're like, as you said, Derek, knocks your socks off in training camp, even if you see that and that player doesn't start the season in the NHL come October 16th, we have seen many, many instances. I go back as far as Eric Nystrom, but I remember it with TJ Brody. I remember it with Dylan Dubé. I remember it with Josh Joris, that, you know what? Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 weeks. You start the season with X roster, and the first opportunity you get, you bring in that player that you've been talking about, and then that player doesn't look back. I've seen it plenty of times and would not put it past that situation happening again this year either. He's Derek Wills. He's Andrew Patterson. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. Okay, let's go from there to looking around the league. About a little bit more than 2 hours ago, Derek, we kind of went through some of the big storylines around the NHL as training camps open tomorrow across the league. Outside of Calgary, what's your number one storyline heading into training camp?
Well, it's kind of been the number one storyline in Calgary for a good chunk of the offseason, and that's what's going to happen with Buffalo Sabres captain Jack Eichel. You know, I do believe that the Flames have been in on him. I'm not sure if they still are, but I do believe that they were. Roger Loving inquires on just about everybody, so I think it's pretty safe to say that he probably at least inquired on Eichel, and I think it probably goes beyond that. But, you know, Jack Eichel is a franchise player, but there are so many question marks. I think he's played his last game with the Sabres. I really do. But the Sabres, they've got to figure out what they're going to do with him. I mean, the two sides can't come to an agreement on how to move forward with his neck injury. The Sabres want to do one thing. Eichel's camp wants to do another. So until they figure that out, I think this thing's probably going to be stalled. And then once they do figure it out, what's the road to recovery look like for Jack Eichel? When's he going to play again? Is he going to play this season? If so, when's he going to play this season? It's just such an interesting situation for me, because very rarely does a player like Jack Eichel become available at the age that he's at. I mean, he signed a long-term deal to be in Buffalo, and things have just soured between him and the Sabres. But he is an elite player. He would be the number one centerman on most teams in this league, including the Calgary Flames. So what happens with Jack Eichel? Who's still in on him? Who's now out on him because they just ran out of time or ran out of patience or decided to go in another direction? So what happens with Jack Eichel has got to be number one on my list.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, Pat, I mean, I think that's the biggest story, you know, that we'll be talking about for the next few months, because I don't see any resolution to this happening anytime soon. I guess we'll find out whether he shows up in camp, whether he's getting paid, but I don't think Kevin Adams is going to be any closer to trading Jack Eichel in a week or 2 weeks, or as we drop the puck on the season, than we are right now. So that'll give us plenty to talk about going forward. But for me right now, it has been the RFAs. And since we had this conversation a couple hours ago, Kirill Kaprizov signed with the Minnesota Wild, 5 years at $9 million. And I'll tell you what, I will certainly be paying attention to what happens in Vancouver tomorrow when Jim Benning meets the media, because he has a mess on his hands. He simply does not have anywhere close to the cap space it takes to sign Pedersen and Quinn Hughes. And I mean, if you want to have a good laugh, just type in Jim Benning right now into Twitter and put up latest tweet. You can see legitimate people talking about the jam that he's in, and then the fans going in on it. And for all the work that they've done this offseason, to be sitting here a day before camp without Pedersen, without Hughes, arguably their two most important players, is an absolute mess. And to be honest, it's great news for the rest of that Pacific division, with teams like the Flames that may very well be competing with the Vancouver Canucks for a playoff spot.
For me, it's, I mean, Eichel is the number one for me, just because, like, what the heck is going to happen? And I am at this point, I didn't think I was going to be here, but knowing the way this situation is gone, I still think that Eichel plays games again for the Sabres. I do, because at this point, if you're another NHL team, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but I don't think it's unrealistic to think that, say it's the Flames, or say it's the Ducks, or say it's another team that would have been in the conversation, and they say, well, Jack hasn't played in X amount of months, and we don't know. He's had the surgery now, but how's he going to react? We'd like to see him play games before we make a deal. I don't put that past a team doing that or asking that at all. And so I think there is a far greater chance now than there had been at any time this summer that Eichel does suit up, even temporarily, with the Buffalo Sabres again. That's going to be really interesting to me. 100% on the Canucks situation. The Kaprizov deal today did not help their cause in trying to re-sign either of Pedersen or Hughes whatsoever. That just made it more difficult for Jim Benning. That news conference tomorrow is going to be a circus, and I cannot wait. The last one I'll throw out, it is Tarasenko. Does St. Louis find a taker for him at some point this season? Sounds like Tarasenko, who requested a trade in late May, we believe, sounds like he is going to show up for training camp and is going to report. And sounds like he is going to play games again for the Blues, even if it's temporarily. But do they find a taker for him if Tarasenko is back to looking on form? Can Tarasenko come to camp with a professional attitude and say, I'm going to play at my very best so I can get my way out of St. Louis and so I can go somewhere else? And will the Blues be willing to eat some of that $7.5 million to make him more attractive to another team across the league? That is, you know, I think it's behind. It's definitely number three on my power rankings of the two that you guys threw out there. But I'll throw Tarasenko in as an added little nugget there, Derek.
No, I'll give you one more name, Brady Tkachuk. And it's interesting because you guys have talked about the Canucks to RFAs. And, you know, the Canucks are a team that, to me, should fight for a playoff spot, whether it be top three in the Pacific Division or a wild card spot in the Western Conference. But they cannot afford to start the season without one of, or certainly without both of, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. They can't do it. They're just not good enough without either one of those guys to be a playoff team for me. So the one piece of leverage that restricted free agents have is time. And time is no longer on the Canucks side. They've got to get those deals done. And the reason I bring up Brady Tkachuk is because I don't think the Senators are where the Canucks are, and that's in a position to compete for at least a playoff spot. So maybe time isn't as big a factor. And I think it's safe to say that from Keith Tkachuk to Matthew Tkachuk to now Brady Tkachuk, they handle their negotiations a little bit differently than some guys do. And they set a value in their heads. This is what we believe we're worth, and we're not going to take any less than that. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, Matthew Tkachuk was talking about his brother Brady's contract situation over the weekend. And, Matthew Tkachuk's contract is up at the end of this season. So, you know, that could be an interesting negotiation as well. But, you know, Brady Tkachuk, for me, is the heartbeat of that Senators team. He's their best player. He's their most important player. I know he doesn't have a C on his jersey yet, but I see him as the future captain of that hockey team and obviously a very important part of their young core moving forward. So I think it'll be interesting to watch that Brady Tkachuk situation because it might give us a glimpse into what we should expect this big brother next summer.
Pat, Ottawa, I mean, they've got a ton of money. They are holding out and making sure that they can get a deal done for an 8-year term and keep Brady Tkachuk there as long as they can and put the C on his chest and go forward. And I mean, I remember back Keith Tkachuk signed, like their old man signed an offer sheet with the Blackhawks in 95 and the Jets on the bankruptcy's door had to, you know, eat a $7 million salary, which put him at the top. We know how things went in Calgary. I mean, you just said it, Pat, he's got to be qualified at $9 million at the end of next season.
Yep.
I'll tell you, they know about negotiations in that Tkachuk family. So they're waiting. They're trying to put the pressure back on Ottawa, and there will be some pressure on Ottawa. But I certainly see that getting done. You know, whether they're paying a premium to get the 8 years and to have them stay in Ottawa, I kind of expect that that will happen. But I think it's eminently more doable as long as there is the willingness to take the money and stay in Ottawa for 8 years, as opposed to the mess they've got on the West Coast in Vancouver.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, gentlemen, good stuff. Lots to sink our teeth into. Tomorrow we'll get more into some of these Flames storylines with training camp officially opening tomorrow. We'll talk to you then, Mr. Wills. Thank you, pal.
Sounds good. Have a good night, guys.
That's our daily Calgary Flames roundtable.